WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the ABC Civic
News,
Media app.
I'm Jim Ryan. Former President Trump just outside a Manhattan courtroom this morning.
This is a continuation of the single greatest witch hunt of all time.
Blasted the civil case brought by New York's state attorney general. The judge already has ruled that Trump and his sons committed fraud by vastly overstating the value of their real estate holdings so they could get better deals on loans and insurance. A spectator outside said,
Trump has been a crook. All New Yorkers have known this for decades. If he hadn't put himself so far out there in the public eye, he might have continued to skate by.
For the first time since the pandemic, federal student loan payments are due again. 28 million borrowers are affected. The average borrower has a debt of about $37,000. The search is on in upstate New York for a 9-year-old girl who disappeared while riding her bike. Authorities say they're afraid that Charlotte Sena was abducted. An estimated billion-dollar Powerball jackpot is up for grabs tonight. This is ABC News. In northern Mexico, search teams are trying to find any survivors after the roof of a church collapsed during Sunday services. At least 10 people were killed. As the strike by the United Auto Workers against Detroit's big three carmakers grinds into its third week, the UAW has reached a deal to avoid another strike. Early this morning, the union and heavy-duty truck maker Mack reached a tentative contract agreement. It covers 4,000 workers in three states. And something is seriously bugging Paris.
The French government vowing to deal with the widespread rise of bedbugs in Paris. Videos surfacing on social media show bedbugs spotted in movie theaters and high-speed trains. The French transport minister promising to convene a meeting with transportation providers to explore possible actions. Others are calling for the formation of a task force to tackle the spreading infestation. A recent study found 1 in 10 French households have already had to deal with bedbugs.
That's ABC's Ines de Locatera in Paris. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. The Brown County Sheriff's Office is asking for your help to find a missing boy. Police officials say 14-year-old Miguel Jose Medina left his home in Howard voluntarily. Authorities say he is about 5 feet 5 inches tall and approximately 145 pounds. Miguel has black hair and brown eyes and is of Hispanic descent. If you have any helpful information, please contact the Brown County Sheriff's Office. A man is in custody in Fond du Lac for animal cruelty. Fond du Lac police say they found out about the alleged crime through witness statements and social media that a 38-year-old man was punching and kicking his dog while walking it. Police say another dog walker saw the man mistreating his dog, took pictures, and posted them on social media. The incident occurred around 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. The man was arrested on Sunday. Fond du Lac police say he is being held at the Fond du Lac County Jail on multiple charges. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
APUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at SoundItOutTogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning, and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Yes, filling in for the new mom, she is officially a new mom, Frances Louise Rye Sampson, joined us on Thursday afternoon about 1:30. So we finally saw some pictures on Friday, and I saw a couple more pictures over the weekend. She looks adorable and teeny, and everyone is doing well. So that's all good news. We are going to be joined by the one and only journeyman talker, Todd Alba, in just a little bit, who has his own program, of course, the Todd Alba Show, across the Civic Media Network, weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. So we're working on some connection issues right now. He will be joining us in just a little bit. Coming up next hour, something I would like you to think of ahead of time. There is an article about the Milwaukee Brewers and their potential to win the World Series this year. And the author of an article in USA Today had some interesting takes on Wisconsin and what life is like in Wisconsin. And so we're going to talk about Wisconsin misconceptions and what people get wrong when they think about Wisconsin. To start off with, though, deal or no deal, yep, they actually did make a deal over the weekend. The government did not shut down, thankfully, at the very last minute. A deal was reached, but it's only temporary, so they're going to have to come back to this in another 45 days, and we will be back in the same place that we were, Greg Bach.
Yay. I think I have something for that. Good job, Congress.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Way to C-minus your way right out of this class.
So what did they get out of all of this? Well, there's a great article in the Daily Beast by David Rothkopf, and he says, had the great Maya Angelou been alive to witness Saturday's climax of the omnishambolic dog's breakfast of a misbegotten legislative process that happened in the U.S.
Wow.
Representatives, surely she would have said, quote, when a political party tells you over and over again that they have no higher priority than serving Vladimir Putin, believe them.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
At the critical moment in which they had one last chance to avert a government shutdown, Republicans in the House abandoned all of their legislative priorities but one. The one they chose to ditch was vital U.S. aid to Ukraine. In doing so, they sent the world an unmistakable signal once again that the first and guiding loyalty of Donald Trump's GOP is, as it has always been, the loyalty is to the Kremlin. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Who wins in this deal? Does anybody win in this deal? 844-967-2789.
2789. Still waiting for Todd Alba to join us. That should be happening any moment now. I can see him. It looks like a really scenic place where he is broadcasting from. We're just having some connection issues. We will get that resolved in just a little bit. Greg, he is
one, two.
There we go.
I'm testing.
We can
there
hear
we go,
you.
Todd. Working.
We can hear you.
Oh my God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Todd Alba. Where are you?
I'm on my balcony. It's a lovely day in Madison. So I thought, well, I'll just come out here and sit in the balcony and, you know, have coffee with two wonderful people, with Jane and Greg. But, you know, technology hates me. That's what it is.
Is your Wi-Fi not reaching quite that far?
I literally have the Civic Media Wi-Fi hotspot right here, 6 inches, you know, from my computer. And it says full bars, 5G. And yet it doesn't work.
Well, we got you now. And we're happy. We'll take you right
exactly.
Now.
Lovely to be here. Lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us.
We're happy to be here. Happy to be here.
We were kicking around the lack of a government shutdown on Saturday and this pretty hot piece in the Daily Beast explaining that pretty much Vladimir Putin is the big winner now that they didn't reach a deal. And the only thing that they took out was aid for Ukraine.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's undisputable that the big winner over the weekend was Vladimir Putin and Russia. And I think it's sad and pathetic that Republicans, demanded this. And, you know, the ironic thing was Derek Van Orten, the Republican congressman from Western Wisconsin, the 3rd District, put out a video over the weekend in which he blamed Democrats for, quote unquote, slow walking this bill and holding up border security and holding up defense spending. I mean, completely contrary. The final vote in the House had 91 members voting no, 90 of whom belonged to the Republican Party, one of whom belonged to the Democratic Party, and that vote was strictly over a protest over the fact that he's part of the Ukrainian caucus and there was no money to Ukraine. So, I mean, this is where Republicans are at, particularly Derek Van Orten in this state, blaming blatant lies on who was holding things up.
Well, and even Kevin McCarthy tried that yesterday. I don't think it was on Meet the Press. I think it was on MSNBC. And the interviewer burst out laughing when he said that. He said, you know, this is the Democrats' fault that we almost came to a shutdown. And she just said, the Democrats voted with you to pass this measure.
I mean, in fact, you're absolutely right, Jane. The truth is, had it not been for Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the House, and a majority of the Democratic caucus, government would be shut down right now because Republicans could not get it done on their own. Matt Gaetz is now calling for a vote to remove Kevin McCarthy this week as Speaker of the House simply because he worked with Democrats. Now, let's not give McCarthy too much credit here. He's no hero. But the fact is, it took Democrats to keep government running.
Yeah, for sure. Again, this claim that there are certainly issues at the border, that's not under dispute, I don't think. But no. Claiming that we have an open border policy and absolutely nothing is being done is completely disingenuous and a lie. And then to blame the Democrats for being the one to withhold funding, because if the government shut down border security, those people would not get paid, correct?
Correct. And that's what Mitch McConnell himself, you know, certainly no liberal progressive Mitch McConnell. He was making this point on the Senate floor, I believe, on Friday, that a vote against the continuing resolution to keep government funded was a vote for open borders because you're basically defunding border security. That's from Mitch McConnell.
Of all people.
All right. That's not from a Democrat. That's from Mitch McConnell. I'll give Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans a couple of props at least. I mean, they put together 77 votes in the Senate over the weekend, a bipartisan group. I mean, when did the Senate vote 77 to whatever on anything? And so, at least there was a sense that, look, we can't have military families going unpaid. We can't have TSA families going unpaid. We can't have people that are on government programs not having their funding, kids going hungry. I mean, there is at least that. That's the bottom line we're at right now in Washington, D.C. Well, I guess people should eat.
That's so magnanimous of them. Well, and you know who they did want to get paid, though? is themselves. And this is according to MTN, Brett Michalis. This is the Midas Touch Network. Republicans put forward their last-ditch effort to avert a government shutdown Saturday, calling a vote on a bill just minutes after sharing it with House Democrats. Democrats did their best to prolong time so they could actually read about the bill. Rather than making a serious effort to write a bill that has a chance of passing in the Senate, Republicans threw their wish list items into the measure. One of the things House Republicans made sure to include was a pay raise, not for hardworking Americans at risk by their own actions, but for themselves.
Imagine that.
Imagine that, right? That at the last minute they would try and sneak in a pay raise for members of Congress.
Who's shocked?
I guess no one should be shocked. I wish I could work up some shock. It's almost expected, right?
You're just incapable of shock.
What is shocking anymore?
That sounds like a Jane Fonda workout. You're working up the shock.
Working up the shock waves. I mean, right. It's just, I think we've just become so used to these sneaky actions, and they're only acting in their own self-interests. I guess it's just, yep, this is how we do business.
Well, of course, they were already going to get paid regardless of whether the government, was open or not. They've carved out that little niche for themselves. So military families would go unpaid. Members of Congress would still continue to get paid. We had a cut from, I forget the guy's name, a congressman, Republican from New York. And a reporter asked him and said, are you aware, you're aware, obviously, that you get paid. And he had the audacity to look at the camera and say, I'm not sure how that works. And so she went through it. She went through it and told him how it worked and directly said, are you going to take your pay? Well, yes, I will. But I don't think people have, I think the quote was, I don't think people, Americans, have a lot of empathy for people who are going to be furloughed, who are going to be. So basically, I mean, he's saying Americans, in his opinion, that Americans didn't have empathy for military families going unpaid. But he was just fine taking his paycheck of whatever it is, $250,000.
That, it's just mind-boggling. It is. And
it is.
That an elected representative can come and show their complete ignorance on something that they're voting on in their own self-interest, and they have to have it explained to them. Isn't that just a sign of how little you need to know about this job?
I think also they bet on the fact that the people who vote for them don't get so nuanced and so into the information that all they have to say is the Democrats did it. And they're like, that sounds good to me. And then they just turn it off. And then they don't have to deal with any of the repercussions of these representatives being idiots.
Well, and remember, guys, for those who across Wisconsin, particularly up in the North Woods, up in Tom Tiffany's district, or down in southeast Wisconsin or south central east Wisconsin, Scotty Fitzgerald, those two yahoos voted no on the final resolution.
If you want to find their phone numbers and you're one of their constituents, just go to myvote.wi.gov. That will tell you who all your representatives are and how you can contact them. Because as we've talked to Todd, it does make a difference if it's done in the right way. We will keep this going on the other side of the break. Please stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Put it in the ground where the flowers grow. Gold and silver shine.
Shiny, happy people. Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 85. This afternoon, under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 61. Tonight, clear skies and quiet. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Temps a bit above average. Wednesday and Thursday, with highs from the upper 60s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 74.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Wisconsin, Jane Matinere filling in for Kristen Bry. Greg Buck is on the board. We are joined by journeyman talker Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show. You can catch it across the Civic Media Network every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Joining us from his beautiful balcony overlooking his very scenic backyard. You can always join us.
The trees are in color.
They are. They're not turning yet. It looks very summer-like, actually.
We're going to Todd's house tomorrow to do the show from his place.
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, no, you'd have to be here.
I'll make it work. Okay. I'll bring a mobile op, and we'll do. Yeah, this is happening.
We'll be good to go.
Just a cup of coffee, sitting on that balcony.
Looks nice.
Right?
You can always join us, 844-967-2789. You can call or text, and you can comment if you're watching the live stream on Twitter or Facebook or wherever you do such streamy things. We are talking about the fact that there was not a government shutdown over the weekend. It went down to the nth hour, and they finally came up with an agreement that will keep the government funded for another 45 days. The one thing that they insisted be taken out was any aid to Ukraine, and all kinds of people were checking in on this decision, including Liz Cheney, you know, that big Democrat from that big Democratic family, always been Democrats.
And in that pushing, big Democratic state.
Yeah, and pushing Democratic policies. That Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney put on Twitter, members of the House and Senate who are voting to deny Ukraine assistance on the 85th anniversary of Neville Chamberlain's 1938 peace in our time speech should read some history. Appeasement didn't work then, and it's not going to work now.
I think that was pretty powerful.
Right?
Right. I mean, and true, as it turns out, true.
Yes, very true. As it says in this Daily Beast article, apt point, just as Hitler saw Chamberlain's weakness as the opening he was looking for, surely Vladimir Putin saw the GOP message for what it was, encouragement for his aggression from the party of Trump, a clear signal all he'll have to do is wait until the next election cycle, and if they win, a Republican-led America would abandon Ukraine, our allies in Europe, and reward Putin's brutality by extending his reach ever more deeply into the heart of Europe. And I am genuinely baffled, Todd. The party of Ronald Reagan is now the party of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
We just love Vlad.
We do love it.
We love Vlad. When did that transition start? Was that still?
Boy, that, well,
I mean, that wasn't when you were a Republican up until 2011.
Oh, yeah, I left the party in 2011. No, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Ronald Reagan standing at the Berlin Wall and, you know, saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And you know, I've talked last week on the show about, you know, one time I was a huge Reagan person. And look, it's a story for another day. But I mean, I think there were parts of Reagan that were okay. But certainly the economic policies, the trickle-down economics, it was an abysmal failure. But one of the tenets of Reagan, which I did agree with, was and still do, is that you have to contain communism. You have to, you know, protect. It is the responsibility, whether we like it or not, of the United States to protect democracy, not to go conquer people, but to protect our European allies, to stand with them. And, you know, tyranny, authoritarianism, fascism, they spread if you don't stand up to them. And Reagan was a huge proponent of that. And it's to your point, Jane, this party, and whether you want to talk about it happening, I really believe it happened with the start of, really started with the with Trump. I mean, there were tenets of it as early as 2012 that were in the party, but I think once Trump got in there, it's pretty hard to think that Trump is not compromised in some way. If you look at the entire history of the Trump administration, you look at Jared Kushner getting $2 billion from Saudi Arabia, which of course isn't Russia, but I mean, it's just a corrupt administration, in my opinion.
I don't think that's under dispute. Well, at least amongst us. I'm sure some would dispute that. But I truly find it baffling that, from my understanding, we have spent, what, 5% of our defense budget in this aid to Ukraine, and yet that 5% that we have used has helped to decimate the Russian armed forces. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's a great point, Jane. And again, let's not take it from a guy who left the Republican Party or people who might have more progressive tendencies. Let's look again at the standard bearer for the Republican Party in 2012, Mitt Romney, who in a forthcoming book, there have been leaks coming out, some of it in The Atlantic with some great reporting. But Mitt Romney made this point that you just made, Jane, that 5% of our defense budget has gone to Ukraine. There is plenty left to protect the border. There's plenty left to take care of our own military. You know, so this whole, you know, narrative that by helping Ukraine, we're sacrificing other things, it's just absolutely false. And again, that's coming from the Republican standard bearer, the presidential nominee, Mitt Romney from 2012.
Well, Mitt Romney, you know, again, long history of Democratic policies and a long, long Democratic family that he's coming from. And he's just not trustworthy, Todd, because, you know, he was a Republican for all of his life. And now when you say hard things, it's like, well, now you're a rhino. Now you say the things we don't want to hear, right? And now you're a rhino.
But it's a great example. And again, I'm not saying that people have to agree with all the policies of the people I'm going to mention. But to your point, these people like Mitt Romney and good Lord, even Newt Gingrich was on the air last week attacking Kevin McCarthy.
Right.
Ronald Reagan, you know, Paul Ryan was here in Madison last week, you know, saying flat out, you know, if Donald Trump is the nominee, we lose. And I mean, so really, are Republicans today saying you're no longer the party of Paul Ryan, Newt Gingrich, and Ronald Reagan? I mean, how far to the right can you go?
It's now the party of Trump, Todd. It's the party of Trump.
There's the answer, Jane.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We are coming up to the bottom of the hour news. Stay with us when we come back after the other side of the break. Fire alarm gate. More drama at the Capitol. It's on the way next. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Former President Trump just outside a Manhattan courtroom this morning.
This is a continuation of the single greatest witch hunt of all time.
Blasted the civil case brought by New York's state attorney general. The judge already has ruled that Trump and his sons committed fraud by vastly overstating the value of their real estate holdings so they could get better deals on loans and insurance. A spectator outside said,
Trump has been a crook. All New Yorkers have known this for decades. If he hadn't put himself so far out there in the public eye, he might have continued to skate by.
For the first time since the pandemic, federal student loan payments are due again. 28 million borrowers are affected. The average borrower has a debt of about $37,000. The search is on in upstate New York for a 9-year-old girl who disappeared while riding her bike. Authorities say they're afraid that Charlotte Sena was abducted. An estimated $1 billion Powerball jackpot is up for grabs tonight. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Green Bay police are asking for the public's help in locating a dog that bit a child. Police say the unprovoked attack happened around 2:15 p.m. last Thursday. Witnesses say an elderly woman was walking two dogs near the intersection of Shawano Avenue and Gray Street. They described the dog owner as about 5'3 and on the heavy side, Caucasian, with gray hair that was in a bun. She was wearing a pink peach flowery blouse and darkish pants. The dog that attacked the child has been described as large with short tan fur, possibly a Labrador Retriever. If you have any helpful information, please contact the Green Bay Police Department. A body was pulled from the water in the Menasha Channel. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says the body was discovered between the Racine and Taco Street bridges. Emergency crews were called to the scene around 5 p.m. on Sunday. Authorities are calling it an active death investigation. Pichwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry on maternity leave. We saw pictures of little Francis Louise on Thursday. All is well. Todd Alba is here.
Frankie Lou.
And I pestered her yesterday for a couple more pictures because I was feeling the need to see her. She's a tiny little bean.
Oh, she's so tiny.
She is. She's a tiny little bean. I know she's long, but Kristen shared some pictures with her father, who's like 6'9", and she looks like a doll.
I think she qualifies as itty-bitty whittle.
Itty-bitty whittle. That's a good way to put it. Hopefully we will get them on in the next couple of weeks, and maybe Kristen will join us by StreamYard and
introduce little Frances Louise to the world. So we will keep you posted on that. Right now, though, we're going to talk about, fire alarm gate. It happened over the weekend. Democratic U.S. Representative Jamal Bowman facing an investigation on Sunday, the morning after he pulled a fire alarm in the Capitol complex as his party was trying to delay a key vote. An image released by Capitol Police showed Bowman activating the fire alarm near the exit to an office building which houses congressional offices. Police said they were investigating as the House Administration Committee, a Republican-controlled congressional panel, oversees House grounds. In a statement, Bowman admitted to pulling the fire alarm, which he said he regretted, but disputed he did so to delay the vote. They were just about to vote on the bill to keep the government open for 45 days, but they had unveiled it at the last minute. Apparently, Democrats want more time to actually have a chance to read the thing. Today, quote, says Bowman, as I was rushing to make a vote, I came to a door that's usually open for votes, but today would not open. I'm embarrassed to admit that I activated the fire alarm, mistakenly thinking it would open the door. I regret this and sincerely apologize for any confusion this may have caused. Some House Republicans calling for Bowman to resign, although such a step appears unlikely, especially given that several members are facing arguably more serious legal and ethical questions. You think? Really? You think? George Santos was asked about this. And George Santos, the Republican from New York, who essentially his entire resume was a lie, says this is unacceptable. I just burst out laughing.
Well, Derek Van Orten posted pictures of it with, like, he must face the law. I'm like, weren't you in Washington on January 6th? What are we talking about the law right now?
Weren't you the guy who was yelling drunkenly at a bunch of high school pages when they were apparently doing something that pages have all done through history, which is to lie on the floor and to take pictures of the ceiling, which is pretty spectacular? You mean that Derek Van Orten?
He's just
that guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, that guy.
They're all great.
So, Todd, what is your reaction to fire alarm gate?
Well, I think it's two separate issues, right? I think to compare it, you know, I just think it's two separate issues. A, number one, this guy wasn't Bowman from the Democrat. He's a bonehead. I mean, they just call it out. I mean, there's literally video of it. I think what he's trying to compare it to is, I'm sure many of us who have been in public buildings, sometimes you'll see a door that says, if you push this, it will set off a fire alarm, and you'll push the door to go out. That's not what he did. He literally went to one of the red boxes on the wall and pulled the lever. That's what it was. All right. So this whole thing about, oh, I thought by pulling a fire alarm, it would open the door. It's horse crap. So just stop trying to make this up and admit. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing I'll say. Did the Republicans try to push through this continuing resolution without proper time to review it? Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Have Democrats and Republicans both done this kind of stuff since God was a boy? Yes. Unfortunately, that's the way government works. You know, is it wrong? Yes, absolutely. But good Lord, you don't go pull a fire alarm. I mean, that is an offense punishable by time in jail and thousands of dollars in fine. If I go to my local AMC movie theater and pull the alarm, Todd can't just say, oh, geez, I thought I was going to open the door to get popcorn.
Whoops.
I mean, I'm in the hooskow, all right, as well I should be.
I'm going to call the cops because you went to AMC. My gosh.
Well, that's true. Fair enough. But I mean, I'm just saying this whole narrative that oh, I thought it was going to open the door, it's crap. I mean, he thought he was being cute by half. Like, oh, I think I'll pull the fire alarm and get a couple of extra hours to look at this.
Yeah.
It was just stupid. And to his credit, Hakeem Jeffries pulled the guy in his office right away. And I can only imagine the paint that was coming off the walls in that meeting. All right. Because Hakeem Jeffries, I think, is one of the best leaders that we've had in Congress in a heck of a long time. And it's beneath Democrats. It's beneath Hakeem Jeffries. And look, it doesn't matter what organization you're in. You've always got one bad apple in the bunch. And this guy's just a goofball. Now, do I think he should be expelled from Congress? To your point, Jane, no. If George Santos is making everything up, I mean, if that's not a case, George Santos attacking this Bowman guy, if that's not the pot calling the kettle black, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's astonishing to me. And You're right. Jamal Bowman is a moron for thinking he could get away with this. Good heavens, man. There are cameras, as we have learned, everywhere. You just can't do that stuff and think you're going to get away with it. And it is a petty, cheap stunt. Don't they have other... Aren't there other mechanisms, Todd, to... Didn't Hakeem Jeffries have, what, his magic minute that he could talk for essentially a certain period of time to give them a little more time to look over this bill?
Right. It's been a while since I worked for a member of Congress since the 90s, and I'm sure Republicans have changed the floor rules a little bit since then. But yes, I mean, leadership has ways to have certain amounts of time. It's ultimately up to the chair, meaning McCarthy or whoever he puts in the place in the chair. They can pretty much do anything they want. And House rules, like a lot of these floor rules in government, to those of us in America, make no sense. But to your point, yes, there are certain things you can do. But as I said before, both Republicans and Democrats from the beginning of time have used these nuances of floor rules to get through what they want. It's just the way the government works. Doesn't mean that it's right, but it means that's the way that it works. And so, yes, I think there certainly should have been more time for Democrats or anyone, reporters, Americans, to review what they're about to vote on. But you don't go pull a fire alarm on this. So, it's just goofy.
It was stupid and ridiculous, and he should be punished for it. I'm not saying that he should just walk away from this with no consequences, but expelling him from Congress, George Santos?
Are you sure?
Come on.
And also in all the travels on the Twitters and the Instagrams and all the social medias, I don't know of any Democratic leaders who aren't at the very least saying, they'll be punished. And it was done. Like, there was no defense of the action and trying to sweep it under the rug. Everyone's like, yeah, it was dumb and he will be dealt with in one way or the other. But let's move on.
But again, go ahead, Todd.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say
this is right out of the playbook of Democrats or Republicans. This is right out of the Republican playbook. If you have a problem, create a diversion. If you have a problem that you're helping Vladimir Putin and the spread of communism in Europe, talk about the border with Mexico. If you have a problem that you're ramming through bad legislation without proper time, focus on the one person who was a bonehead and pulled a fire alarm instead of talking about your real problems in your own house or the fact that you have a guy, George Santos, to your point, Jane, who I mean, it's the ultimate catch me if you can character. I mean, there is nothing truthful about this guy.
Seriously.
Look at your own or Matt Gaetz, who has pending sexual abuse charges, and he's working with Lauren Boebert, who's getting herself felt up and giving a handy in a theater. Look at those people. Look at those people first. I mean, come on. Look at your own house. Don't pick on the one goofball who threw a fire alarm.
And my favorite thing about Lauren Bobo Boebert is that when confronted with this on whatever network she was talking to, probably OAN or something like that, she said, well, it's been a long time since I've been dating, and they didn't have infrared cameras back then. It wasn't, we shouldn't have done that in a public place at a children's, at a performance where children were there. It was, well, it's perfectly fine, except now they have cameras. Whoopsie.
Right.
Bad on me.
And again, I've said this on my show. I'll continue to say it. There, by the grace of God, go I. I am not the perfect person in the world by any means, shape, or form. But this is a person, Boebert, and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others who are continually judging others, attacking the LGBTQ+ community, attacking trans people, which are part of LGBTQ, but I mean, attacking kids for being who they are and wanting to live their true, authentic lives, and yet there is the hypocrisy, Jane and Greg. It's the hypocrisy of these people acting holier than thou and putting their Bibles, standing on their Bibles, some case literally and figuratively, and then they're living completely different lives.
Living her Christian values every day, Todd Alba. Living her Christian values every day. That's Lauren Bobo Boebert.
Which includes a little honk on the Bobos. See, I said it.
That's exactly what was going down in more ways than one. But here's the thing. You had a regular Conmawalk. Yeah, Greg from Economowoc that was called in, I believe, on our show last week. He teaches a Christian class in Economowoc, like a Christian Bible study, whatever. And we had a great talk about this on Friday. He said, there is nothing Christian about what these people are doing. This judgment, this hate, it's contrary to the actual teachings of Christ, which are love, compassion, acceptance. You know, so these are not Christian values that they're using. They are Trumpism values that are being masked by Christian values. And quite frankly, it's sad.
And Todd, that's the funny thing. We've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and we will. There, a couple of articles came out regarding the evangelical Christian right now looking at the words of Jesus as liberal talking points. Weak. I mean,
right? Not masculine.
What are we doing? Where are we? What? The multiverse is real, and this is awful.
I mean, I've heard you talk, Greg. I mean, you have Christian background. I mean, I grew up a Methodist. I was a youth director in our church for a while. I was essentially the assistant pastor until I left the Methodist church because, like the Republican Party, it got very political. And now the Methodist church is being divided over same-sex marriage. And it's your point, Greg, that here's the test, folks. For those who are just part of your Lutheran church, your Methodist church in rural Wisconsin or any place, look at what the actions are to the actual words of Christ in your Bible. And just compare them. Don't listen to Todd. Don't listen to anybody. Look at the actual words of Christ and ask yourself, is this really what Christ would have done? Because I don't remember Christ ever walking into the temple and saying, you know, make more money. I mean, that wasn't the point, you understand. Or thou shalt love everybody except. I don't recall that passage in the Bible when I studied.
He was big on thou shalt pull thyself up by thy own bootstraps, however, is from what I understand. No, it does seem to me like, you know, the New Testament, it's called new for a reason because the message was different compared to the Old Testament, which was big on smiting. There was lots of smiting. And Jesus, at least from what I understand, and I was Catholic, raised Catholic, and I went to Catholic school for 8 years. And I just feel like today's Republicans are much more smitey kind of.
They're all about the smite.
They're all about the smite.
They're smitey and they're you know, just bad. They're just bad.
It's just, again, it is. I think it's the glaring hypocrisy that jumps out. Every time something like this happens.
That's what it is for me.
It's just stunning. It's like, whoa. Okay. We have one more segment with our friend Todd Alba. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us?
Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 85. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 61. High temperatures reach up to 84 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Temps a bit above average Wednesday and Thursday with highs from the upper 60s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 74.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Kristen Bry, Greg Bach on the board. We are joined every Monday for the next couple of months with our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. You can catch it 1 to 3 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are going to move on for this last segment, Todd and Greg, just to talk about the fact that Donald Trump actually showed up in court today in New York City.
How about that?
I know.
Amazing when your money is at threat.
Then you show up.
Democracy, the country, voting, not so much. But, you know, boy, Trump Tower, I'll be there.
But I do find it interesting that because he's not going to be called to testify or anything, this is not a jury trial. No one requested a jury trial on this. So he's not going to be able to speak. And I can only think sitting there having to listen to people talk about how they overvalued all of their properties, essentially lied about it in order to get more favorable loan terms and things like that. That's just going to make him explode.
You would think, which of course only hurts him. I don't know. I'm the last person to think I could get inside of Trump's head or mind. And quite frankly, I don't want to be there. But the only thing I can think of, and maybe Matt Flynn or Maggie Dawn from an attorney standpoint would be better suited to speak to this. But the only thing I can think of is that by showing up in person, he wants to telegraph to the judge, hey, this is important to me. I'm taking this seriously. I'm not blowing it off. You know, please don't punish me to the full extent of the law because I'm here and I want to work with you. Now, I think most people are going to say a little too late for that, Don. But I mean, maybe because his attorneys are going to try not to let him speak. I mean, he can't jump up and say, I object. Only the attorneys could do that, you know? You know, so I mean, but wouldn't that be a great, I mean, it's like The Apprentice, right? I mean, Trump, you know, come on, judge, are you kidding me? You know, that'd be fantastic if he could, but he can't.
Well, right, for sure. But, you know, he also took the opportunity while in the courthouse to slam this judge, to slam the prosecutor, to basically try and use this as a little campaign stop before he actually went into the courtroom. And at some point you have to wonder whether or not this gag order involved in, I believe it's the Georgia case, because there's a bunch of other things going on, that someone's going to jump in there and say, you can't keep insulting and threatening our prosecutors and our judges.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Shane. It'll be very interesting to see what Jack Smith, the Washington D.C. case, who's been the judge in the D.C. case. I'm sorry, I forget her name right now.
Chittigan.
Thank you. Yep. Be very interesting. This is just more evidence of him speaking out. I mean, when you start talking about a sitting judge in your own case, and again, this thread of Trumpism violence, right? That the guy himself never says, hey, go hurt the judge, go kill General Milley, the now the outgoing or the just recently departed chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He never says, go do this.
Right.
He simply implies, well, back in the day,
right,
this is what would happen. Wouldn't it be terrible if... But that is telegraphing to his supporters of Trumpism, and that's where it gets very dangerous. And now Jack Smith and others have had to have round-the-clock security,
right,
because of this.
For them and their families.
Yes, yes.
844-967-2789. John is on the line. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining the show. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I love your show today. Let's talk about President Trump. And you compare him to all the other presidents, even Nixon. President Trump, in my opinion, is a con artist. So, of course, he's going to lie about his assets to inflate his net worth. But maybe things will catch up to him real soon.
You have to wonder, John. I mean, he's juggling an awful lot of court cases right now. And after a life of not being held accountable for pretty much anything, maybe this will finally be it, that he's going to finally be held to account. The one interesting thing, I think, from this over-evaluating their properties, Eric Trump said that Mar-a-Lago in Florida is worth $1 billion. Well, if that's true, then they've been underpaying on their property taxes for a really long time. Really long time.
It's amazing how they inflate their assets like that. And then when they came back and someone said something to the effect of there's an $18 million value on Mar-a-Lago, they're offended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're not even talking about their tax debt right now.
Right.
He's got some felony charges and misdemeanor charges, not to mention back taxes.
Yeah, for sure, John. Thank you so much for calling. He's going to be dealing with a lot over the next few months. And before we go to break, I just want to share, again, this is from the Midas Touch. This is from Ron Filipowski talking about in the 2 weeks leading up to this past weekend, Trump gave speeches and interviews where he claimed you needed ID to buy a loaf of bread. President Biden was going to start World War II. Windmills are causing mental illness in whales. He would build canals to keep forest floors damp to prevent fires. He mocked Paul Pelosi for the attack in his home when he was attacked by a man with a hammer. He said Jeb Bush invaded Afghanistan, that he defeated Obama in the 2016 election, that he'll have the DOJ investigate local DAs for racism against white people, and that he won California because it was rigged. And now... I know Joe Biden's age comes up a lot. He is not a spring chicken. He has made some gaffes, but at least he doesn't say that windmills are causing mental illness in orcas.
I mean,
I really would. Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, if he doesn't care about the poor, why does he care about water wildlife?
Oh, he doesn't care about water wildlife. Yeah. He doesn't care about that. He's got this anti-windmill bias, man. Even though first he was all worried about the birds. And now it's the whales.
The poor little birds.
The poor little birds.
Oh, my God, they're going to fly to the windmill. It causes cancer in tiny mussels. I love eating mussels.
He's the Don Quixote kind of candidate. He's tilting at windmills.
Yeah, he sure is. But again, like, none of this seems to matter.
More like dumb Quixote, am I right?
Oh, nice one, Greg Bach.
Here's the question, guys, I think that listeners should ask themselves, particularly those who have veterans, their family, or military personnel. This is from this Atlantic article from last week on General Milley.
Yes.
He told General Milley when he saw a disabled veteran that General Milley had at an event, quote, "Who wants to see that? Get him out of here." I mean, is that something that you would vote for as a candidate for those of you across Wisconsin? I just don't think most Wisconsinites would vote for that, but that's my take. Also, quickly, Kristen and Mike, congratulations. I want to get my thanks on our congratulations out to them. And baby Frankie looks amazing.
She does. Todd Alba, thank you so very much for joining us. We will talk to you next Monday. Stick around as Goes Wisconsin continues after the break. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming
ABC
on the Civic
News.